listening to the Meadows Podcast on the Porch. We're about to kick off Called to Greatness, a four-week series focused on spiritual development and your life's calling. Called to Greatness is taking place every Wednesday evening in April at Hunt Valley Church's satellite space, The Point, located just off Beaver Dam Road. Sign up now at www.meadow4.org.
Well, welcome back to the porch and welcome back to our series where we're talking about Call to Greatness. And you know, this is all about you taking some time and being a part of the seminar and finding out what it is that God wants to do in and through your life. I think it's very important to remember what we talked about last week. You know, it isn't about you finding your spiritual calling where you go and become a minister or a missionary. You know, a very important part of this course is the reality that everybody and every job that they're in, God has gifted them, and their contribution through the most secular of all jobs, it can be a very, very vital contribution to the kingdom. Now, Jeff Gorman is here with me again today, and Jeff's in his 20s, getting about ready to get married. And what I thought would be very helpful is for Jeff to take some time, talk about what's going on with his friends as they try to figure out what they're going to do with their life. And then after that, I'd like for just to talk with Jeff about what is it that Jeff's going to be, you know, how's Jeff dreaming about his future. So, Jeff, what's going on with your friends right now? You graduated from college, what, about 3 years ago?
And yeah, well, 6 years at this point. you know, it would probably make a little bit more sense for me to start with my own self and then move out to the friend group from there, because I have to think about those folks. But, you know, of course, a lot of this is off the cuff. I probably wouldn't really, I don't know if I'd fit the profile description for the Called to Greatness poster boy here, but so I am pursuing music on a professional level, which just means that it's not necessarily something I'm just trying to do on the side. It's not just kind of a little kind of writing songs in my basement. But for the past 4 years, well, really longer than that, but really the last 4 years has been, 4 or 5 years has been like a pretty serious grind of having a dream, having a desire to play music full time and trying to go after that as most effectively as I can.
You know, I remember you were up at the farm, I think, when you first started getting this passion for a guitar, and you were walking around the farm with a guitar in your hand playing all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I started on drums in middle school and then switched to guitar in high school, and it was just kind of, I couldn't put it down.
Yeah.
And, you know, believe it or not, I've entertained the idea of other jobs in my life, but I don't really know that, you know, this, it's really all I've ever wanted to do. And yeah. I know that that's not always the case for people.
Yeah.
And, but so I have appreciated that. Love that kind of, I don't know if I'd call it clarity or drive or what it is, but when stuff is just kind of always popping out of you, just, you can't deny it, you know? And so that's kind of how music's been for me my whole life. Like when I started playing guitar, I couldn't put it down, and songs were just coming out. And, you know, 95% of everything I produce is not good by any means, but I keep working at it and hope to write some things that I'm actually happy with. And
well, let me ask you this. What are your fears right now?
You know, I think certain fears that I have are similar similar to a lot of my peers and friends. And there's definitely financial concerns. The music industry and the entertainment world are, it's hard to figure out how to make any money doing what you love. And, you know, there's a within music, there's a lot of elements that are kind of out of your almost out of your control in certain ways. Yeah. I'm sure that's the way it goes with any business out there, but it kind of feels like it's like when sometimes when people talk about bands making it, it's just kind of like some make it, some don't. You know, yeah. There's no tried and true formula to have any level of success in this. Yeah. So you've kind of got to trust the process, enjoy. Like, I love playing music, and it's not really about making money, in excess or anything like that. But when you're thinking about a family or you want to have a house or something, you need to actually turn this thing into. So that's, I know a lot of my friends are in that same place. Like, money can really drive a lot of decision making.
You know, I've been working with people off and on doing vocations, and believe it or not, people who have very, very practical giftedness, it's very, very hard for them to believe that God would bless them with a job that they would be good at and that they really love doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everybody sort of bails out because they feel like, well, this can never happen. It's totally unrealistic. I've just got to settle for something far less.
Right. Yeah.
And that's really dangerous because, you know, a lot of those people then 20, 30, 40 years ago are still doing the same thing, and they're very, very unhappy, and their whole life is wasted because, you know, the hope wasn't there and the trust wasn't there. You know, in Psalm 37, God will grant the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's very important for people to realize that he didn't give you gifts and desires just to frustrate you.
Yeah.
He gave them because, you know, he has a purpose and a plan for that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of times we just can't believe that God would do something that special for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think one thing that, I can definitely say that I for the past, after graduating from college, for the past 6 years, I've loved every second of being able to play music. I was farming for a while too, doing both of them at the same time, and the money has never been there, but I love it. You know, there's just there's no other option. But I think one thing that has been a little bit of a growing edge for me has been, you know, growing up in the church and playing music. I don't know if this is totally where this comes from, but I identify as a Christian and I'm an artist, but I've never really felt like Christian music or praise music has been my cup of tea. It doesn't come out of me naturally.
Yeah.
It comes out of some other folks, but I think a little bit of there's just been, I've had to learn to really be okay with the fact that I love playing music, and I love playing rock music in particular. And a lot of times the content or the things that we're singing about don't appeal to the average churchgoer. But God's not really calling me to play that style of music. God's calling me to this other.
See, and that's, you know, that's what I said last week, I think is very important. Your calling is about being faithful, doing what you've been called to do in the most excellent way, and creating the most beauty that God's called you to create.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, you know, it sort of is a little thing that filters everything, that if you don't have this spiritual, you know, reality to what you're doing, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
But I think we got to see that God sees and has created all of creation.
Yeah.
And it's all to be beautiful. And it's all, you know, about us reconstructing and redoing that. And somebody who can create beauty with music, music, a universal language that can travel across countries and peoples.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to just be this little spiritual gig, but I think beauty draws people and heals people in ways that, you know, preaching can never do.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I feel like as I've come to understand that more, I've just been, I've felt a little more open or a little more free to just pursue what the road I think I'm supposed to go down without, you know, kind of always questioning that road. Like, well, should I, it's a little more just like, it's, I feel like accepted and like I'm on the, on a path that makes sense. And, you know, the question of what my peers, you know, one thing I think that, I'm probably right smack in the middle of the millennial kind of age range. You know, millennials get a lot of slack for a lot of different things. And but I think one thing, that I've seen, within some of my social circles has been that there are a lot of millennials and young folks that want a quality of life. They want meaning in their lives. And I see a lot of people in similar positions to me, maybe saying, I'm going to pursue something that I really enjoy. And I want my life to be, I don't want to just reduce it to, I want my life to be fun, but I want my life to be meaningful in some way, over just choosing a job that has financial benefits where 30 or 40 years, I'm going to wake up and not really have given my life to anything. That's obviously not the case for everybody out there, but I've seen a large wave of that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you know, the fact that 80% are people in the wrong job, a lot of it is because they've chosen a job for money. And that's the primary motivation. I saw a cartoon this week of a guy running down the road of life and all the way down picking up a bunch of money and more money. And all of a sudden he's at the cliff. He's got a whole handful of money, but the end is there.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, what are you going to do at that point? Yeah. I mean, I think a question for me that has been coming up a lot recently, is something along the lines of, you know, I've always got this running. I've been self-employed for 6 years, and so that takes a large degree of self-direction, you know, because there's not really anybody telling me where to go or what to do or how to make things work. I've kind of had to figure that out for myself. And so there's this ongoing list of just things to do. There's always this like, here's what I have to do. Here's what I've got to do. Here's what I've got to do. And the question I've been asking myself recently as I wake up is not just what do I have to do, but how do I want to do them? How do I want to be? Who do I want to be in the process of that?
Yeah.
And you think something like that simple would just come naturally, but it's actually been a shift for me. Mm. And I've, you know, it's not always, these things aren't always externally shift, but inside you can feel the difference when you ask that question. I've got this list of things to do. Am I just going to try to barrel through and do as many as I can, as fast as possible? Or who do I want to be in the process if I'm just doing it? And that's kind of been a little bit of through the Enneagram, through some more self-understanding. I've kind of learned to process things that way a little bit more.
And see, and this is, you know, I think this is really going to be one of the benefits of the Call to Greatness seminar, because, you know, most of the time people never spend, you know, an hour thinking about their life. And here's 4 weeks that you're going to have. And, you know, it's important before you do life that you dream a little bit. Something that I think is helpful to think about in terms of dreaming is to think about what life was at creation and what it was meant to be. And, you know, then to really think what life will be like in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so much of what we have right now is a rush against time and space. And so much is a rush, you know, to try to survive. And in both of those worlds, that doesn't exist. And in reality, it doesn't exist here, except, you know, the fact of the matter, it's this big, hanging, ugly cloud that hangs over life. But there, you know, there is this sense of really fully entering into life and letting your life be fully something, as opposed to letting time and money and everything determine who you are.